Welcome to PCMC. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today once again by my good friend, Mr. Vin Forte.
No, that's me.
Vin, how are you?
Good. Excited to be here. Excited to be talking about pop culture.
We are barreling towards episode 200. It's
Oh my God.
Around the corner. And
what's the plan?
Well, that's a secret for another day, Vin. almost 200. Hey, if you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? Don't you want to know when your favorite podcast comes out with a new episode?
Yeah.
For criminy's sake.
Jesus, criminy.
Oh my God, I'm so disgusted.
You know what? Shut this podcast right now. You don't deserve to listen. Shut it off. Go listen to
Joe Rogan.
Ira Glass.
Okay. I went a different way with it. So I'm very excited about our topic today. It's something that I've wanted to do for over a year. And finally, we're doing it. Today, what we're going to talk about is Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue from the year 1990. If you're not old like me, you might have no idea what the fuck this is. Imagine Avengers Endgame, but with Saturday morning cartoons from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, instead of, Groot and Iron Man and Black Widow and Hawkeye teaming up, you got the Muppet Babies and Alf and Garfield.
Right. The Ninja Turtles.
The chipmunks.
Yes, it is quite an ambitious crossover event.
All just to get one. And you know what? Bugs Bunny's in this too.
You bet he is. There's some DNA between this and last week's episode, Space Jam. Bugs Bunny is in this.
Yeah, what's up, Doc? He's smoking weed? Like,
yeah.
He's very nonchalant in this.
As a matter of fact, you know that, Vin, this cartoon is the first time. This was done right after Mel Blanc died. So this is the first time people, they're voiced outside of Mel Blanc.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is, you know what? Good for him that he missed this, because this is terrible. So so what are they, you might go, well, what are they to the rescue? Well, Vin kind of gave you a little bit of a hint there. This is a tale. This is a half hour program, and it's animated. It's about a young man named Michael and his little sister named Corey. And Michael is voiced by James Marsden from
Hocus
Pocus and shit like that. Anyway, Michael, he's smoking the weed and it's taken over his whole life and he's stealing from people. Imagine the classic propaganda film Reefer Madness, but with Bugs Bunny in it. That's what this is. It is.
Yeah. Basically, the crux of it is there's an older brother and younger sister. And while the younger sister is asleep or, away from her room for a couple of minutes, he goes in and steals her piggy bank so that he can get money for the weed.
Right.
And then she catches him and is like, what's going on? He's like, I'm fine. I can quit whatever I want. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then, they have that whole scene. It cuts to him in an arcade, the seedy arcades of the early
right.
90s.
He's flirting with the idea of smoking crack.
Yeah, the kids from Captain Planet ambush him.
Yes.
With crack cocaine. And yeah. Also, he's got, now that he's smoking weed, he's got like a weed companion with him, voiced by George C. Scott.
Which is, holy shit. Academy Award winner George C. Scott is in this.
Yeah, that gravelly, just like, come on,
he's Mr. Smoke.
You want to take the crack. Everyone's doing it.
Come on, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to be cool?
You're never gonna get rid of me, kid.
I know, it's so bananas. It's a wild show. So let me say right off the top that I'm a sober person, and that, as a matter of fact, I even had a problem with marijuana. So I'm not here to go, haha, you can have a problem with marijuana. My problem with this show is, one, it's propaganda. Two, it implies that marijuana is a gateway to crack, which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
And three, it implies that marijuana works like crack. Like the kid's like falling apart because he's smoking weed. Me, it was just exacerbating my mental health issues. I have OCD and weed made my OCD much worse. So that's why I can't do it. So I'm not here to be like, go ahead and smoke weed, kids. I'm here to judge the 80s and 90s for basically this animated show. Is right in the heart of the dare.
This short opens with a special message from George and Barbara Bush.
Hey, Barb, we're here with Alf. Alf's
not going to smoke the weed today.
No, he's threatening to eat the Garfield lamp.
Yeah. There's several. Alf is basically the de facto like comic relief in this special.
Which is insane.
Yeah. And at every turn, there's like a whole B story with him and Garfield.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you better get on this before I eat you. Like,
right. Cause in the Alf show, he eat cats. So Garfield's a cat. And
I didn't like that Garfield was a lamp in this, cause I felt that was a perfect opportunity to have it be the Garfield phone.
Right. Although it is an interesting kind of dig at Jim Davis, I think, for the commercialism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Well, what's interesting is it's called Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, but
there's very little All-Stars in this Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue.
Well, there's plenty of All-Stars, but they don't, the cartoons come to life to try to help the kid with their problem, but you don't see them, like, walk out of the TV. Like, they're not in cartoons. Like, in the beginning, you see a comic book, and the Smurfs come out of the comic book, and Alf is the little girl, for some insane reason, has a framed photo of Alf on her bedside table, and Alf comes out of that. She has a Kermit, the baby Kermit from Muppet Babies alarm clock. So it's weird. All of the things come to life. I mean, the of course, beautiful irony of this show is that it has the logic of a fucking acid trip, yet it's supposed to be telling you not to do drugs. But imagine Toy Story, but if Buzz and Woody went up to Andy and were talking right to him and were like, hey, don't do drugs. Don't you fucking do drugs.
Also, not to jump too far ahead, but did it seem as odd to you as it did to me, or at least ironic, to watch the Ninja Turtles?
Oh, yes.
With their stoner Rob Van Dam voice.
I know.
Like, hey, bud, like, you don't want to do that.
I know. And yeah, the main Ninja Turtle that you see in this is Michelangelo, who's clearly the biggest pothead of them all. I mean, they probably all smoke, but he's like the biggest pothead of the group.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all shows eating up to like practice. Whole pizzas. Like, they're smoking.
And he's like, hey, dude, that's not cool. So I want to talk a little bit about the ideology of the show, because this is the late 80s, early 90s. And this is the just say no period where they were telling kids, hey, well, if somebody offers you drugs, just say no.
Yeah.
This is also the period of the war on drugs, which ended up just really being about a way to abuse minorities. Mm-hmm. This is also the period of the DARE program, which, if you don't know about DARE program, it was a school program to educate children about drugs and get them to not use drugs. And it was a gigantic failure and waste of money. If you want to know more about that, listen to the podcast You're Wrong About. It's very well researched. DARE was a complete failure.
Yeah, I remember DARE, where it was basically like for
come into school,
part one grade, like let's say for fifth grade, that would be when you do DARE. And that would be for like a 2-month period, I would say. Or like maybe it was even like, half a semester.
Yeah.
You would have like once a week police officer or a representative come in and show you a video or give you a talk on different kinds of drugs.
Yes.
And basically tell you like, hey, here's cocaine. Here's what cocaine does to you.
Yeah, and they show it to you. I remember the police.
They had a briefcase.
Yes. The police officer came to school with a briefcase and he showed us all the drugs, which, by the way, just makes them seem more interesting and magical.
Right. Like that's the only thing more insane than that was I had a teacher in high school who brought in, when we were learning about the Vietnam War, brought in an actual soldier from the Vietnam War who was there. And this person clearly had PTSD and they reach into their pocket and they pull out a grenade, and the grenade still has the pin in it.
Oh my God.
And he's like, this is what we use. Like, this is not a toy. Like, I'm going to pass this around.
What?
Don't pull that pin. And we suspect that, like, somehow it was deactivated, but, like, none of us were going to
pull the pin.
We were, like, frightened. We were like, we don't want to find out if this is fake or not.
Oh my God.
But this guy's crazy.
Wow. Well, Vin, I first saw this cartoon in school. The DARE officer showed it to me. I remember being in class watching this. Now, but it was part of the DARE program, but it was also shown on TV. When this was first shown in 1990, it was actually simulcast on NBC, CBS, ABC, BET, Fox, and USA all at the same time.
Wow.
It was also mostly funded by the Ronald McDonald Foundation.
Yeah, there's Ronald McDonald ads, you know, bookending this.
Yeah.
It was, and also I also suspect, so tell me, so you would be able to confirm this. It feels like at the end, especially like right at the end of the video, they make a big to-do about like all the cartoon all-stars jumping into a poster. And I feel like the main crux of this was you can buy this poster. And it's supposed to be like a cool poster with all your favorite cartoons on it. But
yeah,
you're supposed to look at it in your room. Like, suppose you're about to roll up a joint.
Yeah.
You just look at your poster and you stare longingly into Alf's eyes.
Yes.
And go, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
You're right. Except you didn't have to pay for it. They gave it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. No, a lot of the D.A.R.E. program, if I'm remembering,
it was kind of based around like
a lot of it was promises. Like part of the D.A.R.E. program is you promised not to do drugs.
Right. Like you'd sign a pledge.
Right. 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 And you know, I honestly remember watching this as a little kid going, oh, I'll never do drugs. I'm not going to let down fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fuck over Bugs Bunny.
I don't want George C. Scott riding my ass all the time.
Yeah. It was also released on VHS, but not for long because basically every IP holder allowed this to happen, except Jim Davis put a ticking clock on it. He said you could only use Garfield for so long. So what? After a couple of years, they couldn't show it anymore because they couldn't use Garfield anymore.
What a weird, like everyone else is on board, but no, Garfield's gotta be cut out of it.
Yeah. So let's go through. It's only 27 minutes or 23 minutes or something. So let's go through it. Of course, it begins with George and Barbara Bush in the Oval Office. Some of your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs will ruin your life. So it begins with Corey, the younger sister, and she's got a piggy bank and her brother Michael steals it. Uh-oh, stealing money for drugs. So the Smurfs, who are like in a comic book on her floor, come out of the comic book and Papa Smurf notices that the piggy bank is gone. It's like, oh my God, this is an emergency. We got to wake up Corey. So I guess they know who she is.
It basically turns into Toy Story.
Yeah, but like,
but reverse Toy Story.
Well, where in like, Toy Story, they've got this weird rule that they can't let the kid know that they're alive. In this, it's like, it's we are in a opposite. Drug emergency.
Yeah, like we've all gotta get up and turn corporeal instantly,
right?
And then wake this small child up,
right?
Because her piggy bank is stolen,
right? Garfield is a lamp on her desk. And as I said before, Alf, she has a framed photo of Alf, her sweetheart Alf, by her bed. Alf comes out of the photo. He threatens to eat Garfield. Garfield's like, all right, easy, easy guy. Slimer from the Ghostbusters comes through her wall.
Yeah, notice don't know where he came from, but he's there.
Right. And then he eats a lamp, not the Garfield lamp, a different lamp, because Slimer eats everything. And he opens his mouth and then he shoots from, I guess, the lamp that he ate, a spotlight on where the piggy bank is. And the little girl notices that her piggy bank is gone. Doesn't notice that there's a green floating ghost in her room.
No, why would you?
But does notice the piggy bank's gone.
No, that's capitalism, baby.
Yeah. So the Alvin and Chipmunks are there. They're like behind a record. They all want to help Corey. So they sneak into Michael's room to see what he's doing with that money. They sneak under Michael's bed. And there's a big thing in the 80s and 90s was a drug box where like people in anti-drug ads and stuff, there was always a box. So
like when the dad catches the kid, he's like, how'd you do this? Who showed you how to do this? He's like, I learned it from watching you. The dad's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I always felt like with that PSA, the dad should not have come on so strong.
No, especially knowing
pot is.
Yeah, also he didn't realize that his son was using his drug kit.
I know. Come on. So they find the drug box, and Simon from the Chipmunks is like, you know, he's the nerdy sciencey one. He's like, I don't. Either somebody's doing an experiment or this is drugs. Alf says Wally never did this sort of thing to the beef.
You know what? I don't know if I'm so sure of that.
Yeah, I know. So Corey finds a drug box.
Then they fight for a little while. She's like,
right,
you know, how could you do this? Like, what are you doing?
Right. And then
the idea. Yeah. And then there's a plot point that doesn't come back until the very end, which kind of goes a little unexplained until then, where at this point she's now thinking, like, she's got the idea in her head, maybe I should do drugs so I could be cool like my big brother.
Right. There's a weird thing in this, which is Michael's the protagonist. And so they're asking the audience to identify with Michael. But for the younger kids watching, they're asking you to identify with the sister and to be a fucking narc.
Right.
Because it's like, it's not just say no to drugs. It's if you see someone else enjoying a good time, you better fucking stop that too.
Right. Like, there's a scene where, like, the parents are asking her, like, where's Michael? What's going on with him? Like, is he okay? And she's like, he's fine. Like,
Slimer goes, oh no, drugs is bad news. Excuse me, aren't you based on John Belushi? Aren't you the ghost of John Belushi? I don't believe Slimer is really so guffawed by
this. Imagine a cartoon all-star special where the ghost of John Belushi has to save a little kid from drugs.
He's like, yeah, but it's mostly just John Belushi being like, stop being a pussy. Keep your shit together. Hold it together.
They're going to find out. You got to steal yourself. Do it.
Yeah. So the cartoons decide they got to follow Michael because he's up to no good. After the commercial break, we find Michael at this arcade. And why not, in your anti-drug PSA, also throw in some video games are also bad for you?
Yeah.
Because they make this arcade look like hell. It looks like the land of lost children. It's just,
it looks like the stereotype of when you see, like, old 80s arcades where it's like kids smoking and
there's electric guitar riffs on the soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
You know it's no good. And Michael,
bone sharks playing pool, like,
right. Oh, it looks like a casino. It's gross. They're smoking weed right in the fucking arcade. I mean, what is this now? Who's just smoking weed right out in the open in an arcade? And Michael's friends, see, this is where it's so ridiculous. Michael's like a middle class kid. All his friends look like middle class kids. You know, this one girl, she's bougie. She's got on like a very fashionable hat. So, like, it's really ridiculous when the girl's like, hey, let's do crack. And it's like,
really? And they just got it. They're like, yeah, we got this newfangled crack.
Well, yeah, she even says something like, it's the new thing. And the George
C. Scott. Yeah, it's like new coke. It's crack.
Yeah. And the George C. Scott smoke monster's like, hey, Michael, you should smoke some crack. Yeah. You're going to have a good time.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah. I don't know how they got George C. Scott to do this. It's insane that he's in this.
Yeah. And then this, with them basically, here's where, like, the turn happens. So Michael basically runs out of the arcade.
Right. They hear a police siren. Despite the fact that they're inside, they run.
Right. Like, they've probably got nothing to worry about. But now he's just raising all suspicions by running outside.
Right.
And then he's like, no, it's not me. Like, I'm sorry. And then it's not really the cops, but it's Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny, right. The kid is stuck on a dead end alleyway and the cop car is coming. And George C. Scott's like, hey, you're on your own, Michael. And he leaves him. And then you see, like, the big shadow of the policeman. Oh, he's scary policeman's coming to get you. And then what do you know? It's little Bugs Bunny with a police cap on.
Yeah.
I guess he murdered a cop and stole a car and stole his cap. And of course, he says, what's up, Doc? I think what's one of the weirdest things about this special is hearing cartoon characters speak earnestly and sort of didactically. Like, to hear Bugs Bunny be like, hey, Michael, what's the big deal with weed? What's so cool about weed? And it's like, I don't want to hear Bugs Bunny. It's weird. It's so weird.
It's like that Pee Wee Herman ad where he's like, this is crack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, it's not glamorous or fun. It's like, what are you doing, Pee Wee?
I know it's so weird to hear Bugs Bunny like you are, in fact, you are by definition loony. So.
Yeah. And then Bugs puts him in like a time machine.
Right. Because he wants to show him. See, a lot of, you can tell that this was written by a team of like people, because a lot of like the ideology that you see in this is based on the incorrect information they had at the time.
Yeah.
So like, at one point, Michael's like, I do drugs because I like it. And Bugs is like, really? Well, I'm going to take you back in time and show you that you were peer pressured into it. So you don't really like it. And it's like, why is that a sticking point? Like a lot of the.
Yeah, like maybe he legitimately likes it. And it's like masking some pain that he has.
Right.
So he shows him. He basically shows him he was peer pressured into it. Then right. then well, we're all then we're like surprisingly almost near the end.
Right. Because it's super short, this whole thing. But
it's super short. They take a detour into the sewers because it's like, hey, man, you're going to get this is where you're going to end up if you keep doing these drugs.
Right.
And who Michael should they Angelo's find?
Like, hey,
Michelangelo's. Yeah. Michelangelo's like 420, bud. Like, what are you doing here?
Hey, dude, crack is whack, but also like weed is cool.
It take my CBD oils. Like,
yeah, man, let's just like listen to Joe Rogan and
listen, have you heard about these vaccines?
Oh, man, I don't trust them, man. Cowabunga.
I mean, I think they're supposed to be good, but they got the Delta variant out. I don't know what's going
on. Also, another big thing of this time period with anti-drug propaganda is part of the just say no idea is that someone will offer you drugs and then you're supposed to say no. So like until I got older, I thought that the world people just wanted to give me free drugs. And that in fact is not how it works.
No, nobody. It's like when people make this dumb argument around Halloween where like, oh, they're going to put drugs in your candy. And you talk to the people who have all the drugs and they're like, trust us, we are not wasting our fucking drugs.
Right. Why would we waste drugs? Who out there? And then I guess there was another thing where people like, oh, they give you the first one free. So you're hooked. And it's like on weed. No, like that should cost money. Like, and it was never, it's never presented as like your friend who's like, hey, you want to smoke this? It's always like peer pressure.
You don't know anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Or you call them a friend, but then Bugs Bunny convinces you they're not really your friend. Because if they were really your friend, they wouldn't do that.
Right. Like, how long have you been hanging out with these people?
Yeah.
And now like Bugs Bunny's gonna come along and be like, don't do that.
The B plot involves the little girl Corey trying to decide what she should do. Should she tell her parents? Should she not? And she has a Winnie the Pooh with her. And Winnie the Pooh is like, oh dear. You should tell your parents about what Michael's up to.
You should totally be a narc.
I know. Winnie the Pooh's like really trying to get her to narc. So we come back to Bugs Bunny with Michael, and Bugs Bunny's like, all you gotta do is believe in yourself. And it's like, what? Like, there's this weird, I don't know where the psychology at the time was coming from or if it was really tested or whatever, but somehow they equate that like smoking weed or doing drugs is an act of, you're not an individual if you do that. Like, right. you don't have confidence if you do that. It's very weird that immediately Bugs Bunny is like, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your heart. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Again, oddly, like, capitalistic and anti-union.
Yeah, it is. So again, we see Michael with his friends and they're thinking about smoking crack. They're still thinking about the cool new thing, crack. One of the kids they steal his wallet, and that's why he chases after, and that's why he ends up in the sewer. So when he's in the sewer with Michelangelo, all of a sudden he's like he's in the shit water in the sewer, but then he starts to like go down a drain and he finds himself with Kermit and Miss Piggy from the Muppet Babies, but they're on like a roller coaster. This is where it gets really trippy. Kermit's like, this is the inside of your brain. This is what goes on inside your brain. First you're up high, but then you're down real low. And then like, you know, the roller coaster like takes a steep drop and they're screaming. There's lightning everywhere. And Kermit's like, this is what's inside your brain is like. But then there must have been some doctor or something that was working on the special that was like, you know, that's not really right, right? Because then out of nowhere, Gonzo, dressed like an artist, is like, well, this is one artist's interpretation of what it's like in your brain. And it's like, why do you have to make that caveat?
Yeah.
just don't show the lightning or show the lightning. Don't show me the lightning and then go out of your way to point out that it's an analogy. It's very weird. It's a very weird aside there. Oh, God. What else? Oh, then we get to the musical number.
Oh, yes. We get the musical number.
Michael finds he's on the ground somehow, and Huey, Dewey, and Louie come up to him. And they start to sing a song. And this song is written by Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, who did the music for The Little Mermaid, for Beauty and the Beast, for Aladdin. Howard Ashman passed away. There's a great documentary about him called Howard. It's insane that they did this because it's not a very good song. And it's like, there's a million wonderful ways to say no. And it's like all the ways to say no. But one of the more interesting ones to me is, at one point, they're like, hey, you might not want to be rude. So you might just go, oh, I'll catch you later. Or, oh, I can't right now. I got too much homework. And it's like, that's weird. Like, it's weird to be like,
sorry, man, I got too much homework to do crack.
Like, it's one thing to tell kids, okay, say, stand your ground and say that you decide declaratively that you don't want to be drunk. Yeah,
even like yelling.
But to just like evade it in a weird way is weird.
Yeah.
Like, to give that as part of the song, like, and if you don't want to say no, if you want to whip out about it, you can kind of just be wishy-washy. You could just be like, yeah, I'll call you later, and then kind of just ghost them. Also, Michael hurt. So Corey comes back into Michael's room to find his box, and now he hurts her arm. He's squeezing her arm, and she's like, you're hurting me. And he's like, you fuck a little bitch. You better not tell on me. Dad realizes that some of his beers are gone.
And the mom is just like, you fucking drunk. You just drank those last night.
I know. He definitely has a drinking problem because she's like, oh, you probably drank them and forgot about it. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go in the garage and be alone. So now Alf shows up and he takes Michael into, by the way, this is just as disjointed as it sounds. Alf takes Michael into another weird, surreal space. And now they're like looking at like funhouse mirrors. And he's like, who's that? And Michael's like, that's me. And he's like, yeah, but this is what you really look like. And it's like a zombie.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, to poke at this and pull the threads, does that mean that's what you're going to look like if you smoke crack? Or is that what you look like now inside in your heart? Like, what is the zombie? Is the zombie your moral loss? Or is it?
I assume they were talking about, like, if you keep on this path, you're going to, like, this is what you're going to become.
Okay. At one point, Alf is, Michael's like, I'm in charge of my own life. And Alf is like, I don't know. I don't think so. Let's go see the man in charge. And there's a big door that says the man in charge. And he walks in and it's George C. Scott as the smoke monster. And he's like, Michael, I'm in charge.
We're going to have so much fun together smoking crack.
Yeah. And it's weird is because, like, when it comes to Michael, the cartoon characters aren't being... They're not being nice to him. They're not like,
no, they're basically like prodding him at every turn, being like, yo, if you keep doing this, you fucking bozo, you're just gonna get worse.
Yeah, it's super aggro. It's super weird. And they're like, they're bringing him to nightmarish hellscapes to show him how horrible things are. It's just, but like,
yeah, if someone showed me that, I would want to escape and just smoke a bunch of weed.
I know. I'd be like, oh my God, Alf just showed me that I'm a zombie inside. Meanwhile, the creator of Alf, known drug addict. Yeah. Writer of Permanent Midnight. Oh, I don't know if that was a creator of Alf, but he worked on Alf. He was a writer on Alf. So now they see more weirdness. Now he gets sucked down a straw and you see like Miss Piggy's drinking him.
Yeah. That was like Vore involved. Like,
yeah. And then he's like on a roller coaster track, but it's a different roller coaster track from the one before. Like, now we're in a carnival and like the train is the roller coaster car is coming after him. It's so weird. He gets launched into a giant demon thing and he's inside the eye of the demon. It's all so surreal. It's crazy. He goes to a fortune teller that is Daffy Duck. And again, a lot of points, I think, repeat. Kind of like a repetition of what we've already seen. Daffy Duck is like, I'm going to show you your future. And it's just zombie him again.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we kind of did this. George C. Scott is a smoke monster at some point is like, hey, Corey, you want to be friends with your brother again? You should smoke weed. The smoke monster just wants to destroy children's lives.
The smoke monster is very, like, ominous. Even when they get rid of him at the end, he's like, I'll be back.
Right.
Don't worry about me. I'll be back real soon.
And then Michael's like, he's right. He will try to come back. And then Corey's like, well, we'll be together. And when he tries to come back, we won't let him. It's like, okay, fuck. Doing drugs is a moral failing You were immoral for doing it, but you were also a victim, but you're also a bad guy. You're also hurting other people, but also don't believe in yourself. It's just like, it's kind of all over the map in terms of whatever it's trying to say.
Yeah.
It expounds on the, it presents to us the gateway drug idea that weed will lead to crack, which
right,
I'm sorry.
That's
I
not
just
the case.
No, it's not the case.
And that's what, and that's basically what everything said back then. So they're just parroting, like, this was a time where everyone was parroting the wrong information.
Right. Right.
Where it's like, weed is the gateway drug. You do weed, next thing you know, you're stealing money from your little sister. Next thing you know, you're doing crack. Next thing you know, you're, you know, holding up a bank to get money for more crack.
Right. You're looking like a zombie.
Yeah. You're
straight
you're
from
not
weed
following
to crack.
The DARE program.
Right. Like, there's no in between. There's no, like, let's do a little blow. Like, it goes right. It's right to.
Or there's no, like, sitting a kid down who smoked weed and being like, why are you doing this? Like, what's the, right. like, what's the reason here? Like, are you feeling bad? Is there something going on at home? Like, does it make you feel good? Well, why does it make you feel good?
Right. Right. Why are you doing it? Also, like, there's no representation of, like, how the drug actually affects you. Like, for
no,
all,
it's
like,
just, this is bad and you're going to feel bad.
And there's lightning in your brain, but it's like, crack and weed are very different. One brings you down to a mellow place and one brings you all the way up to a manic place.
Right. This kid might do better on his SATs when smoking weed. Like, we don't
right.
know that.
But it's like, do the writers of the show not really just not know, or are they afraid to actually depict what it really does because they're afraid the kids might be intrigued by it? It's just weird that it's just drugs. Drugs are bad and you want to do drugs. Like, as a little kid, you walk away from this and you're like, I don't really know what drugs are. I know that you're not supposed to do them. I know that they hurt you and make you sick, but I don't know how they feel or why you would do them. Right. Like, I remember thinking, like, why would anyone want to? Because, like, they don't really show the high of it.
No, they don't. Again, it's all very surface level. It's all just like, this is bad. Why is it bad? Because it is bad. Don't question it.
Right, right, right.
Just
right,
don't do it.
Right.
I'd imagine more kids became interested in drugs after this and like did their own investigating. That's always like a thought I have after seeing these kinds of things. Because to me, when you're a kid, drugs are either on your radar or they're completely off. Like, I don't think there's really any in between.
And if you're young enough to be persuaded by Kermit the Frog and Alf, they're probably not on your radar.
Right. And then, so now my problem has never been like telling kids not to do it, because obviously they shouldn't. But my problem has always been never putting weed in its correct context. That,
right.
That, like, if I'm a kid and I see a special like this, I'm just going to want more information.
Right.
About like what weed actually is. Because now I've just been told,
right.
There's a drug that's bad, but it makes me feel good.
Right.
But I shouldn't do it. And I'm going to be, and as a kid, I'm just going to be like, well, why?
Right, exactly. I don't know anything about drugs. I wasn't even thinking about drugs. Just the weird idea that as a way of stopping drug use, get to the young people who haven't done drugs yet and stop them there. And it's like, that's not how it works. The desire to do drugs will come from adolescence and growing and changing. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What 8-year-old, you know, is like, oh, well, I want to do crack. I mean, I'm sure it happens, you know, at some point somewhere in the world, but it's almost like the way religion works. Like,
well,
get
them
while they're young and can't really think for themselves.
Right. And the other thing that a lot of these specials don't do is they don't put the responsibility on the parents. Like, even in this special, yeah, at the end they go, okay, well, we're going to tell mom and dad. But there's never any moment where, like, the parents are sitting down with the kids and being like, well, here's why this drug is bad. Yeah, you're going to see it. You know, you may see it when you're in high school or middle school, but, you know, here's why you shouldn't do it. Here's why other people do it. You know, there's so many questions that kids are going to want answered that are, I think, fairly easy to at least, you know, broach with them. But these specials don't do any of that.
Right. That's the funny thing. Like, it's so thoughtless. It's not thoughtful. It's, you know, kids like cartoon characters. So let's just have cartoon characters talk to them. Did you see this before?
Nope. I've known of it. I've seen clips, but I've never actually watched it.
It was a thing when I was a kid. So I was, like I said, I was actually showed it. It was shown to me in school. And I think I saw it a few other times too. It wasn't too much later that I thought about how kind of bizarre it is.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. It's produced by one of the producers on it is
Dan Schneider.
No, hold on. One of the producers on it is Roy E. Disney, who's the son of Roy Disney and the nephew of Walt Disney.
But no Disney characters.
Right. I wanted to ask you that. I mean, at this time, you know, Huey, Dewey, and Louie were in
DuckTales.
The Ninja Turtles were obviously very big. So these were contemporary. Looney Tunes was kind of big again. So you can make the argument that they just wanted to pick who was hot at that moment. But it is odd that there isn't.
I think Disney didn't want to get their mouse hands dirty.
It is weird, right? Because you've got Bugs, but you know, you don't have Mickey being, you know, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy are not there.
But would it have been weirder if they were? Like, that's, well, I guess, for the question. Bugs Bunny, it makes a little more sense. I could see Bugs in a special like this. But then you've got Mickey, and it's like, oh, don't do cocaine. Like,
right. And Bugs is kind of cool compared to Mickey, right? So, like, even a little kid, you might be like, ah, Mickey's for baby. Like, if Mickey's telling you not to do drugs, right, you might be like, ah, I'm going to do them then.
Right. And then, but then, like, later on, they would just let those characters do whatever. Like, I love all the Kingdom Heart. I don't know if you ever looked up Kingdom Heart clips, like, out of context, but they are fantastic.
I have watched Patrick Willem's Kingdom Heart essay. Very interesting stuff.
It's, yeah, Kingdom Hearts is its own drug trip, quite frankly. But, like, there's a whole cutscene where Goofy dies and, like, Donald and Mickey are, like, mourning him. And it's hilarious. Like, just, you got to see it for yourself. Like,
they're making an animated series of it for Disney Plus.
Oh, are they? I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
right. People love them from Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. An interesting use of the characters. Yeah, I think you might be right there. I think it might be a decision way up from, like, Michael Eisner. Like, nah, we don't. He don't leave the fucking driveway for this.
Yeah, we don't unfreeze our Lord and Savior for right. this shit.
Yeah, Mickey's a little above all this. Let Bugs deal with it. Let Bugs and Daffy get involved.
Yeah. Who can we say? We'll give you Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Right. Right. Exactly. What about Uncle Scrooge? Nah.
No Uncle Scrooge.
Nah. And you get, I guess the other Disney characters you get are the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Yeah.
You do get Tigger at one point.
Though I will say, even Winnie the Pooh feels a little weird, where it's like, oh bother, like, don't smoke the weed.
Because he's so, like, sweet. It's like Mickey.
Yeah.
You just don't like the idea of Pooh Bear being in a world where drugs are done.
Right, despite the fact that he's already got an addiction to honey.
Right, but, like, you just want Pooh Bear to worry about Pooh Bear shit. You don't want Pooh Bear having to worry about drugs. Like, oh, bother.
Right. Oh, bother. He took the crack cocaine.
And then you get arrested more than twice, and it's three strikes and you're out, and then you've got a record your whole life, and then how are you going to get rehabilitated back and get a good job? Oh, bother.
Oh, bother, what a mess I've gotten myself into.
Oh, just, no, like, we've turned all our prisons into for-profit businesses.
Like some real talk Disney shit. Like, it's an industrial complex to just house black people on minor crimes.
So now that you've seen this, do you not want to do drugs?
I mean, if I'm going to end up like any of those kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do want that poster.
I know, me too. I bet you can find it on eBay.
How much do you think that poster is going for?
Let's see.
Because there's something, like, it would feel like a big betrayal if all of a sudden that free anti-drug poster is suddenly like $2,000.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Well, first of all, the VHS, you could get it for $25.
Okay, that's not bad.
Especially
because it's out of print.
1990 press photo artwork.
Press photo. Okay, come on. We got to take your pictures.
Alf, that's only $15. I don't see.
Can I get that picture of Alf that was on her dresser?
That you'd have to make yourself. Yeah, I don't see the poster, really.
Hey, Willie, who doesn't want a picture of me?
Who would it be if they made it now? Like Paw Patrol?
Like, oh God, Peppa Pig.
I know. If you did like SpongeBob, it would be just as disingenuous as like Michelangelo, because it's like clearly he's on drugs.
Like Mr. Krabs was trying to like sell people cocaine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to make a profit, SpongeBob, me boy.
Well,
SpongeBob, don't do crack.
Well, it is quite an oddity. If you've got,
and you can go watch it. Like, if you've got 25 minutes,
yeah, it's on YouTube.
Watch it on YouTube. Nobody's taking it down.
Yeah, go ahead and take a look at it. It's as weird as it's weirder than we made it sound. We didn't leave anything out. it's an odd thing. And by God, George C. Scott's given us all.
he certainly did for a little bit. I didn't know who that voice was. Eventually, I figured out it was George C. Scott. But for a little while, I was like, who is that?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was him. At first, I was like, is that him? Or is that someone doing an impression of him?
Yeah.
Let's see. This came out in 1990. So this is the same year that he was in The Exorcist Part 3.
Oh, okay.
As well as a voice in Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, it was a banner year.
It was a banner year for him. Vin, thank you so much for being here to talk about this ridiculous cartoon.
Oh, I gotta go smoke some weed.
We ended
Lay off the weed.
Vin, how do we end the episode?
We end it by saying, stay off the weed. No, we end it by saying, go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
Yeah, go bye-bye.